Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are also available there under local programming and the tab Your Financial Choices. Today is October 2nd, 2019. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 26,078, the NASDAQ at 77.85, and the S&P at 28.87. Our topic tonight is mortgages, real estate, and refinancing with my guest, Steve Stelzman of The Mortgage Company. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live with us on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can just give your question to Lori C. and she'll write it down and bring it into us. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So we'd like to welcome back to the show Steve Stelzman. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for coming back. You know, Steve, we are in the midst of celebrating 10 years here at WDIY, this show, Your Financial Choices, and you've been part of my history as well. So I'm so thankful that you were able to come back and talk on this important topic. And we're getting questions all the time from clients about, you know, mortgages, et cetera. But for folks who may not remember you, I'm going to introduce you as the branch manager at The Mortgage Company. Can you share with our listeners a little bit more about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I've been originating residential mortgages for the last 30 years. We are located in Allentown. We have an office at Cedar Crest and Hamilton Boulevard. We have a staff that originates and underwrites and processes and closes, and it's a one-stop shop for all your mortgage financing, refinancing, and financing needs.
Great. Thank you for coming on here. So we're going to get into the details now, which I like so much. The real estate market, we're hearing it's a seller's market. I have people come in and tell stories about, you know, the neighbor's house sold in one day. Do you have kind of your thumb on the pulse of the?
I do. Yes, we're very clued into the numbers because it's such a big effect on our business right now. We are at historically an all-time low for home inventory. And what I mean by that is, on any given time frame in the last 10 years, the Lehigh Valley has had between 4,000 and 5,000 homes listed for sale to be sold at any given time. So if you went on the multi-list system as a realtor or as an individual and you looked up how many houses were for sale, it would be between 4,000 and 5,000. Today, we have 1,700 homes listed for sale. So supply and demand principles dictate that creates a seller's market, meaning that there are many more buyers than there are sellers, which is creating bidding wars, people trying to get out and get in front of trying to get their offer accepted. And that's one of the most difficult things for a buyer right now is you find the perfect house, but you're probably going to be competing against a couple other people because they're also looking for the perfect house. Mm. And houses that are in decent shape and are priced fairly, market price, are probably lasting about 48 hours on the market. So the average turn time for all houses on the market now is about 30 days, 39 days. But we, you know, the inventory supply, and this is not unique to the Lehigh Valley. I think this is going on all over the country. So I think realtors are struggling, you know, trying to manage through this process. You know.
Now, you said if a buyer kind of has to be ready, is part of that also making sure that they're qualified? So someone might think, oh, I'm just going to kind of go look. Like they're in the market, but they're not realizing that there's this demand mm-hmm. or this competition out there to buy that perfect house. So they think, well, you know, if we find something, then we'll go
mm-hmm. And get
right. pre-approved.
Yeah, so part of the offer or that you're going to make on a home today is, you know, it used to be if you were going to offer the right price, the seller would accept it. But the seller's digging into the offer and the individual buyers a little more thoroughly. Meaning, if I agree to sell my house to this individual, are they qualified to get a loan? Because the sellers they don't want to commit to an individual to buy the house and then have to take their home off the market. For 30 days, and then only to find out that buyer could not get the loan or didn't have the money or, you know, couldn't afford the home.
You know,
right?
I just had this happen. I was helping a family with an estate, and mm-hmm. they were selling the person who's passed away in the estate. They were selling their home, and it was all set to go through in August. And at the last minute, it didn't go through. And we actually had inheritance tax filings that had to be made by a particular time. Mm-hmm. And we were going to, you know, waiting for that sale price and that settlement sheet as the backup for our valuation on the inheritance tax return. And it fell through. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, and there's a cost. There's a big cost to that. Like you said, there's a carry cost. You know, you may be paying mortgages, utility
yes.
bills,
yes.
Taxes
yeah.
for another month, and then you got to start all over. So
right.
you know, you get excited, your house is sold, and then 30, 45 days later, you find out it's not sold. Now you got to start the process all over again.
Well, I want to, as we get through the show, I want to talk about what that looks like, what that pre-approval process looks like, because I also, you know, it has resonated with me. Some of the tips you gave on the last time you were on the show where you talked about it's about making sure that you can afford that mortgage mm-hmm. too, because I want to talk about that. Before we go on, you had mentioned that you do residential real estate. So when we're talking tonight, we're going to focus probably on residential real
yes.
estate when we're talking about financing or refinancing mm-hmm. and mortgages and how you apply for them. So do you have people who think that because you're the mortgage company that you'll finance commercial property or investment property too? And if so, what do you say to those
folks? So let me kind of define a residential mortgage lender will follow the guidelines and compliance guidelines of Fannie Mae, the Federal Housing Administration. So the Fannie Mae is a quasi-government agency that pretty much writes the rules for all lenders who are participating in lending in the residential lending arena. Now, if we follow those rules and we originate a loan under their guidelines, then we could sell these loans onto the secondary market. Now, that is much different than the commercial side. Commercial banks will originate loans based on their own criteria. They're using their own funds to create the loans. Mm. So if you walked into XYZ Bank and you asked for a commercial loan, it would be more of a customized type of approval,
mm.
right? But in the residential world, if you went to 20 different lenders for residential property, they're all pretty much going to tell you the exact same thing, right? Because we're all following one book of rules from Fannie Mae or FHA, which is a good thing because, you know, it's good for the consumer because it's fair. Everybody's getting treated fairly. And we know exactly, you know, what we have to do to get that person from from application to approval to closing.
Right? Okay. Great. And I want to talk about some of the criteria that go into that when we come back from this first break. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758. Oh, did I say it? Yes. Gosh, all of a sudden I thought I was saying the wrong phone number. I've been doing this for 10 years, folks. Give me a break. 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Rosalie.
And Steve.
Join us and other hosts each Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for Swing Sunday, a great mix of swing, big band, and classic vocals.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices, and I have with me this evening Steve Stelzman of The Mortgage Company, and we are talking about mortgages and real estate and refinancing with Steve tonight as we go through the show, getting some of the details that might be important to you if you're thinking about buying a home, taking out a mortgage for the first time, maybe buying a second home, maybe refinancing. So we're going to talk about some of the criteria that is going to be important. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So, Steve, let's talk about, so you mentioned, you know, commercial is kind of a whole different set of rules. If someone's going for residential mortgages, you... overall, all of the different mortgage providers are following a similar set of rules through Fannie Mae or FHA. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the lending criteria then that you might have to look at for mortgages? And if it's mortgages, not just a primary mortgage, but you could do mortgages on a second home as well.
Absolutely.
That's not commercial. It's still residential, correct, but it's a second home.
Right. So residential would is defined primarily as a property that you're going to live in without any commercial influence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some there are some times where you could have a, you know, a little bit of a commercial influence. Maybe like an accountant wants to buy a house with an office and a side door entry. That may work in our world. But typically it is your standard family residential property that has no commercial influence. It's zoned residential. And the intent of the purchase is to live or buy it as an investment. So I don't want to confuse. There are properties that people buy as investment properties that we can finance, but defined in the banking world, commercial beast where a business is operating out of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of loan that a commercial department in a local bank would finance for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a caller on line one. We have Matthew from Effort. Matthew, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, how can I help you?
Well, I have a question on what actually are tax credits.
Okay.
I currently bought a new house from my funds from a 401k, which I didn't pay the penalty, so I just saved about 20% of it in a savings account. In order to, so it won't be a big shock when it gets to the end of the year that I have to pay taxes. And I was wondering, when I was thinking of putting solar on my new house, and they offered a $44,000 tax credit. And I was wondering if that would alleviate me paying as much taxes as I'm horrified to believe that I'm going to happen in like April 15th or whatever it is.
Okay, so Matthew, what you're telling me is you're selling your house, but you already started building the new one. And so you needed some money. You took money out of the 401k to help pay for the new house. And you didn't have a penalty, which means you're age 59 and a half or older. And the employer allowed you to take money out of the 401k. So it's not a loan. It's a distribution. And you didn't pay taxes on that. But when you file your tax return for 2019, you'll pay the piper then. And your question is, in this new house, if you install solar panels that qualify for this tax credit that's still eligible for solar improvements, would it offset? Off the top of my head, not knowing all the numbers, and I'm not going to get into the details of that, I will tell you it's not a $44,000 tax credit I wouldn't expect. It's a 30% tax credit on solar energy improvements as long as they qualify, and you can find out more about that on the website energystar.gov. They still talk about the solar credits that are still available through 2021, I believe. In 2019, if it is installed and it has to be installed and being used in 2019 to get the credit of 30% on the purchase price. So if you pay $44,000 for the solar panels, the credit is 30% of that. If it is not installed and being used in 2019 because they're installing it into 2020, then the credit is dropping to 26%, I believe, off the top of my head, 26% in 2020. So if it was the same $44,000, the credit would only be 26%, if my memory's right. So that information, those specific percents, are available on that energystar.gov website. There's a link for tax credits. And in 2021, I think it goes down a little bit more, and then it's done. So whether it will offset the tax that you would incur on the money you took out of your 401k depends on when you are eligible for the credit. So you've already taken out the money in 19. If it's not installed and usable by 2019.
I'm hoping it will be.
Okay. Well, then you may be eligible for that, and you might have to tell them to put be quick on it. So, all right. So you may need a mortgage for your new house. Steve, if I could quickly ask Steve if he could say what happens when someone, if you want to stay on, Matthew, or do you want to jump off and we'll just answer?
I'll stay on, but okay. I use my 401k to purchase everything on the house except for some of the appliances and stuff we haven't bought yet.
Okay. Not to buy the entire house. I mean, that's going to be a huge tax consequence if you took out, don't tell me numbers, but if you took out, the tax credit's only going to apply to the solar improvement, not to the entire house.
Yes, right. I already understood that.
Okay. All right.
This is only about the tax credits for the
solar improvement. Okay. So, Steve, here's an example. Someone has a house they're selling, but they want to buy or build their new house. Mm-hmm. What does financing look like that? Could Matthew benefit from financing instead of taking money out of a 401k?
Maybe. So what we suggest in sometimes, and I'm not sure if Matt's situation applies to this, but sometimes we suggest taking a loan against the retirement account if your administrator allows for that. Because that way
they did not.
Yeah. So, and that happens sometimes. So, the purpose, the reason we suggest that is because you avoid the tax consequences and, you repay yourself back the money. Mm-hmm. So when that's not available, then you have to do what you have to do. You had to do what you had to do there to find the funding. Years ago, we had programs that were called, we refer to them as bridge loans,
right.
Kind of gapping you, giving you a loan between the time your house sells and the time, the money you need to buy the new house. And then you would pay that bridge loan back as soon as you sold your existing home. Now, those programs have pretty much gone away because there was such a high default rate for whatever reason, because in that process where you do a bridge loan, the individual's carrying a loan for the, usually, for the existing home. They're carrying the bridge loan payment and the new loan payment. So if you're in a market where you have to got to carry those three loans for 6 to 8 months, some people couldn't manage through that and defaulted on the loans, and the banks and the funding kind of dried up for that. So sometimes we've got two options, which is maybe get a home equity loan on the existing home and use that as the bridge loan, or we try to work something out with the retirement account without creating penalties for you. But we are limited. That's one of those missing financial products where you could really use. Yeah.
Well, Matthew, good luck. Okay.
Thank you for the information. It really helps me when I'm trying to figure out how to pay off the big bill I know is coming.
Okay. Well, thank you, and good luck. And you could sell your house in time to pay off the big bill, too. And Steve just said it's a great market. So good luck with that. Have a good evening. Right. Thank you. Folks, we're at our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with us or off air. If you just want to give your question to Lori C., she can write it down and bring it in. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I am speaking with Steve Stelzman this evening from the Mortgage Company, and we're talking about a bit about real estate and mortgages and refinancing. And I want to remind folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We thank you for your call, Matthew. We also had an email question, Steve, if I can ask this. So I'll respond to her later, because she said regretfully she can't listen to the show this evening, but she can listen to podcast in a few days. But here was her questions, which I think were really, really great. She said, I retired early and have been told that since I don't have a job, I can't qualify to refinance. Is there anything I can do? Second, I plan to put my house up for sale early next year. I have a nice chunk of equity build up, so when I go to purchase another home in downsizing, will I have to pay cash since I still wouldn't have a source of income? Now, I might just hold that question, Steve, and come back to it, because we do have someone else on the line live, and I want to make sure we get these calls in. So we have John from Brynigsville, and he is asking about investment property and paying high interest. The property is in California and owned by his sister. So he must be asking about... Oh, sorry, golly. I'm sorry, John. You're on the phone. John.
I am.
I'm so sorry.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
John,
can you tell us what your question is?
So my sister has this property. She has a small business, and she got this small property, investment property. Not investment, it's a business property.
Mm-hmm.
But she's struggling to pay because it's very high interest, like 7.5%. I don't know if it is good as a commercial. Like, so I said, like, I have a job here and I don't have any loan, so I can join and maybe it will be reduced. So can Valley National or maybe Steve can suggest something? Like, is it possible I can help join as a co-owner of that property and get some loan?
So you're asking if you co-signed a loan with your sister.
Yes.
Would that affect the interest rate?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and this is a commercial property.
commercial property, and she's running the business there.
Okay.
She's struggling, yeah.
Okay, so possibly. So when, I think what your sister needs to do, and is that a fixed rate or an adjustable rate?
It's a fixed rate.
Fixed rate.
10.5%.
Okay. Yeah. So commercial properties, the interest rates on commercial properties do run slightly higher than on residential properties. So if we're in the fours, commercial properties, you know, and most of the time commercial properties are usually adjustable rate mortgages or balloon mortgages because, you know, banks, when they lend, do not want to stretch that out for 30 years like we do on residential properties. They kind of want to recoup their money in a 10 or 15 year period. So, and the interest rate's a little bit higher. Now, the answer to the question is, I think your sister needs to shop around. By adding you, I doubt it very much if it's going to affect the interest rate. What they're going to look at is the business, the collateral or the equity in the property, and base a decision off of that. But you know, it wouldn't hurt to when she's talking to lenders in California to offer that as a suggestion. You know, they might consider that and offer her a better interest rate.
Okay. She did try back there in California, and they suggested no, try somebody in Pennsylvania where I live.
Yeah, it's a little tough. Unless you're working with a national bank, it's a little tough for a Pennsylvania lender to lend in California. You know, they want to be familiar with the market. They want to be familiar with the right appraisal. So what happened, a national lender would probably refer you to their division in that local, in the locality that the property is in. But if you called a Pennsylvania bank and they were only operated in Pennsylvania, they would probably tell you they couldn't do the loan.
Okay.
For a couple different reasons, you know, licensing, compliance, things like that.
You know, one other thing, John, I know that I have had a guest from SCORE, Lehigh Valley, on the show before, and they had talked about people who were starting new businesses may have opportunities to different lending alternatives for their businesses. And I think SCORE is a national organization. So I don't know if your sister is new in the business or if she's had a track record where, as Steve said, you know, if she can show that she has equity already in the building or her business is doing really well. I mean, she might have to prove that to get a better interest rate, but she might check if she's running the business, if there's any business resources similar to what we have here, SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, if they have a branch in California that might be able to help her look for a different type of financing.
There's also small business administration loans
that are insured.
Okay. So banks offer you would go to the bank, and then it would be insured by the SBA, Small Business Administration. So the bank could offer a better rate if it fits the criteria that the SBA is looking for.
Okay. All right, okay. John, good luck.
Thank you. Good luck
to you and your
Thank
sister.
You.
Thank you for calling. Yeah. Some good questions tonight.
Yeah.
So let me see. We have a couple minutes before our next break. So let's see if we can take part of this question that came in through email. So this person had said they retired early. She must want to refinance but has lots of equity in her home, and she's told she can't refinance because she doesn't have any income. She must have other resources, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. too. If she's retired and not working and she hasn't taken her pension or Social Security yet, she must have other assets, I'm thinking.
So
they won't let her refinance.
Right. So up until, I believe it was maybe the beginning of this year or end of last year, there were programs for certain mortgages did not require an income or an asset verification if the purpose was just to get a better interest rate. It's called the HARP program. Now, I believe that program was discontinued, but that doesn't mean we have to make a couple assumptions on this question because we don't have the caller on the line, but we're assuming that she doesn't draw on the asset account she has. So let's say hypothetically she had $500,000 in a mutual fund, and every month that administrator wrote her a check for $500.
Mm-hmm.
If we can show that there, or $1,000 or $1,200, whatever. Mm-hmm. If we could show and prove that she's receiving from her savings a regular distribution, we could use that as income. But if there's no source of income, or maybe she draws just as she needs it, or it's infrequent, that's actually what the bank told her is actually true. So if another way to say that is, if you had $2 million in the bank and you wanted to buy a $200,000 house and you had no money coming, income coming in any sources, we would not be able to qualify you. And that's a result of the reconstruction of our industry in 2012. As everybody knows, we went through a period in 2006 to 2009 where there was a very, very high default rate. Almost 10% of all the mortgages in the country defaulted. And the government kind of changed some of the guidelines around. And one of the major impacts was to only allow taxable funds, taxable income, to be used to count towards qualifying for a mortgage loan. So technically, when you're looking at this borrower or this individual, mm-hmm. there's no taxable income to use to mm-hmm. qualify her.
So she was we're at the halfway point, and I'll ask the second part of the question when we come okay. back. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You are listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY 88.1. Your current temperature right now is 89. Tonight we have a chance of showers and thunderstorms likely after 8 p.m., low around 54. Thursday, rain, high near 59. Thursday night is going to be cloudy with a lower around 54. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 64. And Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 40. Saturday is going to be sunny with a high near 63. And Saturday night is going to be partly cloudy with a low around 45. And for your Sunday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 71. Now, back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can call and ask questions live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. We were talking about mortgages, real estate, refinancing with Steve Stelzman of The Mortgage Company right here in Allentown. And we're kind of going over some of the qualifications for mortgage lending, and we had a listener email me that question. She had asked about refinancing, and you pretty much kind of confirmed what she's been faced with, that she's being told without any income, she really can't qualify for refinancing. And her second question was, when she goes to purchase another home to downsize, will she have to pay cash since she also won't have a source of income? And I would say
the answer would be yes. Yeah. And that's under the assumption that she's not going to be taking draws from her pension or Social Security. Mm-hmm. Social Security and pension are allowable sources of income to count towards qualifying. But it appears that she's not doing that yet. And that's why.
Can I ask you a question then? Let's pretend this person has other resources for her daily living, and she turns 65 and decides she's going to collect Social Security, but she doesn't have any other taxable income. She doesn't have pension. She doesn't have interest dividends and no IRA distributions at this point. If I am her tax preparer and I report her Social Security income, it's going to come up not taxable at all because if that's all she has. So she has that resource, but it's not taxable income. Could that hurt her for financing or
no? And I'm sorry, I probably was a little unclear. So
there are
sources of income that are not taxed that can be used.
Okay.
Social Security being one of them. So if we could show every Social Security recipient receives an awards letter at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. stating how much they're going to receive, we could use that, the evidence of of the having the awards letter would be evidence of her receipt, and we could use that to qualify her. So there are few sources of income. Most income is taxed, but there are a few sources that aren't taxed. And when we say tax, and when I refer to taxable income, I always use that phrase taxable income, because there are a lot of self-employed people, and when I ask them how much they make, it's usually different than what's reported on their tax return. You know, so if a person owns a lawn service company, and their gross sales were $200,000, but after their accountant figured out the deductions that they're legally allowed to take
and depreciation, which isn't really money, they
reduced that tax base to maybe from $200,000 to $50,000 is the income that we're allowed to use, because that's what they paid tax on.
Okay.
So, and that's an important. It's very important for people to remember, you know, when talking about and sharing their income with lenders.
Mm-hmm.
A lender should be asking, especially self-employed people. Any lender should be asking to see tax returns, right? Because there are things that we could add back sometimes, and every individual is different. So we might find some income that we could use that, you know.
So in her story, to close the loop on that, she does have the opportunity to take pension and Social Security. There's certain reasons people will delay taking their pension or Social Security to maximize maybe a benefit they're getting. But she may want to revisit that to see if that's important to her, if it's more important for her to have a mortgage. If she sells her home and downsizes and she has enough equity in that first home, she technically could take those proceeds and pay for her downsized home and not take a mortgage at all.
Yeah, not take a mortgage. And sometimes we suggest that because, you know, if you don't have to pay interest,
yeah,
there's no reason to pay interest.
But at the same time, if their investments are making 6% and the cost of borrowing is 3.25%, that's where I see a lot of people who don't need to take out mortgages, don't need to have even home equities or whatever it might be. They do it because they're leveraging.
Exactly.
They're using it as leverage to keep their investments. So
every individual is really different in that sense, you know.
Yeah. So where do we see rates going? Let's talk about rates for a minute.
Loaded question.
Yeah.
And I wish I had that magic ball.
Well, maybe we don't talk about where they're going. We'll just talk about
where they are now.
Yeah.
Where they're at. So we started to see an increase in interest rates. Well, for the last 25 years, we've been saying, well, rates got to go up next year. Rates got to go up next year. And it just kept going down and down and down. And I think the lowest we've ever seen was maybe very low 3% fixed 30-year rates back in 2007, right? And we believed that rates were going to continue to rise and go up because they had to. And we didn't see rates really shoot up until right after the election, the last election. And here's why. Rates are a commodity, just like a stock price, interest rates. These mortgages are sold on the secondary market, and the investors want the highest return they can get. So the rates are affected by political. When the economy is doing well, rates will go up. When the economy is doing poorly, rates will go down. So even comments or articles, or if the market feels any uncertainty, rates will tend to maybe shoot up for a little while, depending on the news, the uncertainty. So it's a pretty volatile market. It's more volatile than people think. And I compare interest rates to a stock price. You know, if the CEO of a company decides he's going to retire, you might see that stock price, drastically change. And just like if we have news, whether political or financial, that is uncertain, we're going to see rates drastically change. We believe that will probably stay in the 4 range for the rest of the year, but it's very difficult to predict.
We have another caller on the line. We have Chris from Mertztown. Hi, Chris. It's Lori. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Do you have a question for Steve or myself?
Yes, I just applied for a mortgage, put a down payment on a house, and I was pre-qualified for a lot of money, more than I wanted. And then just to get a quarter of that money, $70,000, I got denied because of my income was at a staffing agency.
Okay.
And they said the guidelines, Fannie Mae guidelines, they went by 12 to 24 months. I'm 15 months. They just didn't accept it.
Okay.
I looked up. I saw that 12 to 24 months. They should accept it with other stuff.
Yeah.
That's good for
so
it. I have assets. I don't need the mortgage.
Right.
Buy cash.
So, Chris, this is a very common problem, and I don't want you to tell me who you were working with or your lender, but the mortgage pre-approval that you got, the person doing that did not ask the right questions, right? And here's what I mean by that. When you're employed by a staffing agency, it's considered temporary employment, and the likelihood of continuance is not as strong as if you were employed by the company itself. So Fannie Mae has some very specific guidelines around borrowers who are employed by staffing agencies, and they consider it, not unstable, but that the likelihood of continuance may change. So they don't
right.
want to focus, they don't want to use that income, and lenders are kind of, you know, stuck at this. Now, they should have asked, you know, specifically if you were with a staffing agency or whether you were employed directly with that company, and kind of dug a little deeper, and they probably would have covered that prior to giving you the mortgage approval, and that would have saved you the time that you put into finding the property.
I lost the deposit, so I went to my bank because I'm a preferred member and all that, and I have a lot of money there, and they saw steady income from before.
Yeah, so and unfortunately,
you now.
Yeah, unfortunately, just like the question we answered before, just like the bank isn't really looking at the assets you have because. Even though, I mean, they should. I mean, if you have enough money in the bank to buy the house, I think we should actually consider that as an approval for you, but that's not how the rules read today. So they're looking at, will you have income, the same income, tomorrow, 3 months from now, 3 years from now? So we're not only required to show that you have adequate income today, we're required to prove reasonably that it's going to continue, and that's where the staffing agency versus permanent employment kind of is a very gray area.
I'm counting on them using the guideline of 12 to 24 months and looking at other things like my excellent credit.
Yeah.
And everything else, so I dumped another $500 for another appraisal.
How long have you been with the staffing agency? Oh, 15
months.
Months. 15 months. Okay.
In the same company.
At the same company. Is there any chance that you'll be hired by that company?
I keep asking, but they said there's a freeze.
Okay.
So who
knows? Yeah, I would say, for every guideline, there's an exception. So if the lender that you're working with could kind of support, either through the staffing agency or the company that you're working for, that your continuance is guaranteed or stable, your continuance of employment, they may be able to use the income you have right now as working for the staffing agency.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, good luck,
I'm sorry
Chris.
About that.
Okay.
But okay. Thank you.
It's all good. Thank you,
Lori,
for calling.
That really goes to the biggest problem, the biggest black eye in our industry is not getting the right pre-approval. There's so many companies that, whether it's policy or inexperience of the staffing, the pre-approval is issued. The borrower doesn't know any difference between a pre-approval and approval and a final commitment. So they assume that they were pre-approved and they go out and they buy the house. They give the down money to the realtor. And normally you'll get the down money back if you can't get a mortgage, but there are circumstances where you could lose that down money. But what you will absolutely lose every time is probably a $400 or $500 appraisal fee. If you've had inspections done on the house, you'll lose $600 or $700 on inspections. The pre-approval, if you're you got to feel confident that the person you're working with is asking you enough questions that they could actually analyze your income, assets, credit, debts, right? And if you don't feel that they're doing a sufficient job at that, I would call multiple companies to get that pre-approval.
Well, I think it's great that Chris called, because this is something I was not aware of either. And so that's really important when folks are asking what that process is, that we can alert them if they're in one of these situations. We're at our last break, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. And we are live. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can ask questions live on air or off air, or you can email them through yourfinancialchoices.com. And podcasts of prior shows are also available at wdiy.org. And this is a great show so far. I love the listeners' questions. Very informative and enlightening, and it just reinforces that you need to do your homework. Now, that last call, unbeknownst to him, probably, Steve.
Yeah, he did nothing wrong. He gave the information they asked. He did what he was supposed to do. He got an approval, and then all of a sudden he finds out he's really not approved.
Yeah,
right?
So talk to me about your pre-approval process and how it might be a little different than some of what we see. We're inundated with ads on television that you can go online, you can do it in, you know, seconds. Tell me
so,
what you do that's
and that's, you know, part of it is, you know, I guess generational. You know, we want to get pre-approved on our cell phones, you know, and there's a lot of, but this is the biggest financial commitment of your life. Right. So I'm not sure if I agree, but I'm also an old guy, but I'm not sure if I agree that you should be getting an approval on a cell phone, right? Mm-hmm. By putting in the information on a cell phone. But that said, so if you're
don't look old.
thank you. If you're getting a pre-approval, basically what we're saying is that if you go and decide to buy a house, that you're going to be able to get the mortgage, the money from the bank to do that. Right. So and in order to determine whether you're approved or not, the lender should be running your credit. They should be looking at your W-2 forms. They should be looking at your pay stubs. If you're self-employed, they should be looking at your tax returns. They should be looking at your bank statements to show that there's adequate funds, right? And if any of those components are not completed, I would question the quality of your pre-approval, because you can't make a decision about approving somebody for a loan without seeing those documents. It's really that simple. When we do it, and there are people that are reluctant to do this, and I get that. You don't want to give your personal information to somebody on the phone that you don't know. But unfortunately, that's the only way to kind of ensure that that your pre-approval is going to be valid. Right, there's no other way without looking at the documents, and you may think that you can convey all the information, but sometimes there are things on those documents that a lender needs to see. For example, let's just say somebody tells me that they make $50,000 a year, and I didn't look at any of their documents, and they go and they purchase, or they go under contract to purchase a house. And then I get their pay stubs. And on their pay stubs, there's two $500 child support payments. Okay? Now, if I ask that person what their debts are, most people will leave that component out because they don't think of a child support payment as a debt,
yeah.
right? They think of their cars, they think of their student loans, and it's automatically taken out, so they forget that child support's being taken out. But when you get that pay stub, that becomes a debt that a lender has to use against qualifying. So in that situation, you probably would have gone through all the paperwork of submitting an agreement of sale. You probably would have given the realtor some money. You would have paid for an appraisal and maybe inspections to have a professional inspector inspect the house. So now you're out $3,000-$4,000, and your lender calls you 2 or 3 weeks later and says, "Hey, we didn't know about the child support payments. Sorry, we can't give you the loan." Right? Now you're starting all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at all those documents, critical. If your bank's saying they're your pre-approved and they haven't looked at those documents, call another bank.
Well, and you mentioned though, sometimes like they're trying to do it on their phone, but
perfect.
They can walk into your office,
yes.
and you can sit down and do that with
yes,
them.
Yes, absolutely.
And sometimes looking at that pay stub is what triggers that question, as you said, the child support. But it might have also triggered it in this situation with Chris, where it might have said staffing agency.
It would have, because it would probably the pay stubs, I'm going to take a guess, I might be wrong here, but probably Chris's pay stubs come from his staffing agency and not the company that he actually shows up and works for.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that would have exactly triggered that question.
Yeah. let's go back. So I appreciate going through that pre-qualifying. And I do remember, though, when you were here before, you kind of also further handhold people, though, if I remember. It's not just about pre-qualifying them. Because you also say, well, yeah, we could pre-qualify you for this much, but can you still afford that?
Yeah.
Because you were saying the cell phone might not come up in their expenses or their debts or their car insurance.
The first question that I think anybody should ask themselves is, what they want their mortgage payment to be, right? If you're going from a $1,000 rental to a $2,500 mortgage payment and you weren't able to save a dime when you had
a $1,000
rental, you may want to think about the $2,500 mortgage payment. That may be too much, right? So the first question that I ask is, what do you want your mortgage payment to be? Because more than likely, I'm going to prove you for more than you want that payment to be. So I don't want to talk about $2,500 payments if you want to be in the $1,500 payment range, right? And I think that's important because nobody should be overselling you, because those payments come fast, they come quick, and if you're not comfortable with it, you know, you're going to have problems.
Well, the other piece to factor in, too, is sometimes people become new homeowners. They might be going to a bigger home, and now they're buying furniture, and they have land mm-hmm. or lawn maintenance or, you know,
yeah.
repairs that they hadn't anticipated. So it's always good to kind of sit and talk to someone about the impact of that. I don't know if we talked about the current interest rates. What are we seeing for mortgages? And
So the general range right now is probably between 3.75 and 4.25. And unlike years ago, the whole industry went to what's called a risk-based pricing model, which means we can't just look at a sheet of paper and say, that's today's interest rate.
Uh-huh.
The interest rate depends on
credit, probably?
It depends on your credit. It depends on how much you're putting down. It depends on the type of loan, conventional versus FHA. It depends on whether the property is a one unit or a two unit. So there's about six or seven terms, 15
okay.
versus 30-year terms. So there's about like six or seven factors that you really have to know if you want to give somebody an accurate interest rate. And I always sound like I'm kind of dodging the question, like when somebody calls and says, what's your interest rate? Because, you know, I want to get a little bit of information so I could try to get an accurate interest rate. Let's just say if you're putting 20% down and you have got a really good credit score, you're probably in like the 3.75 range. If you have some credit problems, you're going to pay a higher interest rate than somebody who doesn't have credit problems, maybe by a quarter or half a percent more.
Okay. Can you explain to me the difference between a mortgage and a home equity or
yes.
a home equity line of credit?
So a mortgage loan is pretty much the guidelines, rules are dictated by Fannie Mae, FHA. It is always in a first lien position, meaning that if the house goes into foreclosure, the mortgage loan would get paid and paid and satisfied first. A home equity loan is a product that the individual bank, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, are creating from their own funds and loaning to you. Most of the time, the interest rates are adjustables on the home equity loans. The terms usually don't go to 30 years, and they got a little more conservative, but usually they don't have the same terms, benefited terms of a first mortgage loan. But other than that, there's not much difference. You know, amortize the same. And
okay. But they come from their own resources, kind of like what you said with the commercial banks earlier. You said the banks are kind of coming up with their own.
Yeah, so Wells Fargo, using Wells Fargo as an example, let's just say ABC Bank, ABC okay. Big Box Bank, they will come up with a product. And usually it's competitive with XYZ Big Box Bank, but they'll come up with their own product. They're going to use their own funding for that and create their own rules and regulations.
Okay.
So you could go to 10 different banks and you'll look at 10 different rules and guidelines for home equity products.
Okay. You're a mortgage lender.
I'm a mortgage lender.
So what's the difference between a mortgage lender and a bank?
So we're both licensed pretty much the same way, except that we only do the mortgage product, right? That's the only thing we do. We don't have checking or savings accounts. I like to think that we're kind of a specialty. We're a specialist on that particular product. I don't know a lot about checking accounts and savings accounts and mutual funds, but I know mortgages inside and out. And I will be the same person from the time you say, when you walk into our company and you work with any of our licensed loan originators, and that's important because we're bonded, we require continuing education. There's a whole process to be a licensed mortgage banker. But when you work with us, we're working with you from the time you say, I think I want to buy a house and we'll be at the closing. So we're gonna kind of be with you every step of the way, just like a realtor is. We're gonna, talk to you and get you pre-qualified and sit with you and find the right numbers and payments and how much cash you need and find the right program. And then when you're out on a Friday afternoon or a Friday night or on a weekend and you find a house and you just want to know what the payments are, you're going to call me and I'm going to work up numbers and I'm going to call you. And then I'm going to sit with you and do the application paperwork. And then we're going to make sure that you meet all the times and commitments. And then I'm going to sit with you at the closing in case there's any questions. So I'm the guy that's going to be there the whole time. Now, do some of the big box banks offer that? I don't know. Maybe. But I think it's rarer now in today's mortgage world.
Okay. And the pre-approval process is
more thorough.
We have just a couple minutes left, and I wanted to mention that I had noticed at the bottom of your email when I asked you to come on the show, you had a warning about wire fraud.
Oh, yeah.
So can you take just a minute to talk about that? Because when we're talking about people going online and applying for mortgages or putting in maybe some personal information versus coming into someone's office, what are we worrying about with wire fraud?
It's funny. Today I was leaving the office and I got stopped to have this conversation because we had one of our borrowers that almost was caught doing this. So the bad guys are getting a lot smarter, and somehow they're figuring out who applied for a mortgage. And now they know that this individual has applied for a mortgage or is in the process of buying a house. And what will happen is they will create some false emails and send them to the buyer of the house and pretend to be either the mortgage lender or the realtor and ask them to send funds to
For
a purpose, ABC, right? Mm-hmm. So in the situation that we just had, they pretended to be the realtor, and they asked that another escrow deposit of $5,000 is required to retain and hold you in the contract. And luckily, the borrower called us and questioned it and says, "Is this right? This doesn't sound right. I thought my realtor told me I gave them everything they needed," and we told them, "Yeah, that's not right. This is somebody else." And then we got the realtor involved, and the email was like one digit off of what her real email was. So it's becoming more and more prevalent. And I think the mortgage industry is a big target because they could grab so much more money.
Yeah.
You know, per per
Well, we appreciate that warning. Yeah. Steve, what is your phone number, and do you have a website?
I do. So it's 610-216-5547. And the website is themortgageco.com, themtgco.com. But if you just Google Steve Stelzman, you'll find me.
Well, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having me again.
And there was so much more we wanted to talk about.
Spend another couple hours on this.
But we loved the phone calls tonight. So I really appreciate the listeners who called in and took the time to email questions, because we all learn more through those questions. And we really appreciate Steve's expertise in sharing that with us tonight. So thank you so much,
thank you.
Steve Stelzman from The Mortgage Company. Next week, we have Dan Banks of Silvercrest Insurance to discuss Medicare supplemental plans and how to navigate the decision making. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week. Thanks, everyone.